Good evening, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Great White Throne Judgment is the topic for this evening, and it is taken from Revelation 20, verse 11, where the phrase, "And I saw a great white throne," and then the verses that follow after that, from verse 12 to the end, is a description of judgment. And that's where we get the title, The Great White Throne Judgment. First, let us look at the time, the chronology of this Great White Throne Judgment. So I'd like to present to you a schematic overview of the timeline regarding the Great White Throne Judgment, as well as last week when we touch on the judgment of the sheep and the goats. Is it clear? All right. The Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment, as Revelation 20 reveals to us, it will take place at the end of the 1,000 years of Christ's reign on earth. Last week, when we talk about the judgment of the sheep and the goats, it will take place at the end of the Great Tribulation. The judgment of the sheep and the goats are also known as the judgment of the wheat and tares, found in Matthew chapter 13, as well as the judgment of the good fish and the bad fish, also found in Matthew 13. You will compare these three passages and you realize the similarity, where at the end of the judgment of the wheat and the tares, or the sheep and the goats, the Bible says, after this world has been destroyed by fire, the judgment of the sheep and the goats will begin. This will be before the millennium, whereas the Great White Throne Judgment takes place after the millennium. Now, look at the text that we are going to consider this evening. Verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." Now, the word "fled away" means the word "vanish." Now, when you look at the judgment of the sheep and the goats, this same earth that we are living in remains. What happens is there will be a surface renovation, as it were, or recreation by God, where the same old earth and the same heaven will be recreated by God to make this place livable. But based upon verse 11 of Revelation 20, when the Great White Throne Judgment begins, this old heaven and the old earth, the Bible says, will vanish away. It will be completely destroyed. So that when you read the phrase "new heaven and new earth" in Revelation 21, this will be brand new. This will be a new heaven and new earth, never been stained by sin. No sinner will ever be allowed. No Satan, no demons, no unclean individual will be allowed in the new heaven and new earth. So this Great White Throne Judgment is the judgment of all judgments before the new heaven and new earth. This judgment of the sheep and the goats, where the goats, who are unbelievers, will be sent to the lake of, no, not to the lake of fire, to hell itself, which is different from the lake of fire, which we'll see from the remaining verses of Revelation 20. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of punishment, where there is fire, where the people will be burned, and there is pain, where there will be people who will experience the gnashing of teeth. But it must not be confused with the lake of fire. The lake of fire is eternal. The new heaven and new earth, eternal. The earth and the heaven during the millennium, they are not eternal. The occupants in the millennium, the people, they are eternal, because this old earth and old heaven will be destroyed. before the judgment commences, as verse 11 of Revelation 20 tells us. So do not miss out on this chronology of events. God created the heavens and the earth. God created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve as our first parents. They were given the covenant of works. All they needed to do was to obey a very simple command from God. Do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They did not listen. Adam ate, and because he was the representative of all mankind, all human beings born of human father, human mother are all sinners. And that's who we are. That's how we begin in life. As sinners in need of the Savior. As sinners who are totally depraved, bound by sin, where sin was our master. And then God gave us promises of two comings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, He came as an infant, born in the manger from the Virgin Mary, only the woman, not of man. The Holy Spirit came upon her, so she was with child through the Holy Spirit, not through her husband Joseph. So that Jesus Christ, born of only the woman, will become fully man. And at the same time, fully God. He did not surrender His deity. And so when He obeyed all of God's law on your behalf and on my behalf, and then He died on the cross after 33 years on earth, 3.5 years of ministry, He died on the cross of Calvary. And when He died, He uttered the words, "It is finished." God's plan of salvation to save the world was completed finally when Jesus Christ died on the cross. And then God accepted what Christ has done for us by raising Him from the dead on the third day as a confirmation that what my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, my only begotten Son, what He did on earth is sufficient to take away the sins of the whole world. If only you would believe and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. 40 days after that, Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. And then He remains in heaven till the second coming. But before the second coming, there will be another event called the rapture or the first resurrection, where the Lord Jesus Christ will come down from heaven with all the saints, where they will all be given the glorified body, and then all the believers who are alive when this incident takes place, they too will be taken up in the glorified body. Jesus Christ will not come all the way down. They will meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, and then the Lord will bring everybody up to heaven to be with our Heavenly Father. And this is where we have a particular issue. And that issue is, in certain passages of the Bible, the word judgment seat of Christ is used. And I believe many of us believe that when the rapture takes place, the judgment seat of Christ begins. Now, the Bible never said when the judgment seat of Christ begins. So when you read from books that talks about the judgment seat of Christ beginning immediately after the rapture or the first resurrection, it is an opinion. The certainty of the judgment seat of Christ is not in doubt. The issue is the timing. Now, in the case of the great white throne judgment, we are given the timing. It will be at the end of the millennium. The Bible did not say when the judgment seat of Christ will be. And then there's another issue. Some of you may believe that the judgment seat of Christ is only for believers. However, I don't believe that that is true. I do not believe that it is a judgment of only believers. The reason is this. The word judgment seat appears in the New Testament 12 times. And in these 12 occasions, you realize that it simply described the place of judgment. That's all. The place of judgment of both believers and unbelievers, or both the good and the bad. It's just a place of judgment of everyone, guilty or innocent. It's just a description of the judgment seat. For example, in Matthew 27 verse 19, the word is used to describe Pilate sitting in the judgment seat, where his wife came to him and said to him, "You better not have anything to do with this man called Christ Jesus," because she had a dream. She said, "Have nothing to do with this man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." So she warned her husband. Pilate sat on the judgment seat judging Christ. Then another similar parallel passage, John 19:13, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew it is called Gabbatha. So it is just simply a description of the place of judgment for everybody, not just for believers. So where in the world did we get this idea that the judgment seat of Christ is for believers only? That is another issue. So the timing, when the judgment seat of Christ is supposed to begin, and that it is only for believers, should be reconsidered. Because if you say that the Bema judgment seat of Christ begins immediately after rapture, you and I know that those believers who died during the Great Tribulation, they will be resurrected immediately. That means your understanding of the judgment seat of Christ is continuous. That means Christ will have to sit on judgment every time a new believer is resurrected, let's judge. Every time there's someone, let's judge. And keep on judging, keep on judging, keep on judging, till when? And then what happens when the Great White Throne judgment comes? Because after the millennium, and we know that there will be in the millennium 144,000 at least Israelites who will enter the millennium together with other believers, when will they be judged? Will they also be judged at the Bema seat? What happens at the Great White Throne? When will the judgment seat, the Bema judgment seat, end? You see, all these will become a problem if you say that the Bema judgment begins here. Isn't it true? Should the Bema judgment seat of Christ, could it not be a once-for-all singular event? Should it be a continuous, non-stop event for 1,000 years or more? When will it end? That is a problem. And where in the world do we see that the judgment Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, is only for believers? There may be certain phrases that may seem to give us the idea, but then the usage of the word judgment seat runs counter to this idea that it is for both believers, for believers only. Because the use of the word judgment seat is for both believers and unbelievers throughout the other passages when it occurs. Acts 18:12. When Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews make insurrection with one accord against Paul, and they brought him to the judgment seat, where the Apostle Paul had to answer and give a defense in front of Gallio. And then another passage in Acts 18:17, then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things. So it's just a place of judgment for everyone, not just for a particular group of people. And then when you look at the two New Testament passages in the epistles, where it is attached by a genitival construction called judgment seat of Christ. The others are judgment seat of Pilate, judgment seat of Gallio, judgment seat of Festus, other kings, other governors. Here we have the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if the meaning of the phrase judgment seat in all the other passages refers to everyone, then why can't the judgment seat of Christ also refer to everyone, not just believers? We are not excluding believers, but we should also include unbelievers, because the unbelievers will also be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. Would they not? Do you remember the verse in Hebrews 9:27, where it is said, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment." Now, that judgment is not the judgment seat. The judgment seat describes the location where the judgment will be held, where Jesus Christ will be there, will be seated there. Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto men." Now, the men there has to be men in general. That means believers and unbelievers alike. "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment." And so the judgment there simply means judgment. where God will judge everybody's life on this earth, believers and unbelievers. All will be judged. And who will be the judge? The Lord Jesus Christ. Where will the judgment be conducted? The judgment seat of Christ, where the people in those days would be very familiar with the term. Of course, in Greek it is called bema or bima, because that was the term that was used whenever they think of judgment, because judgment seats are found in every city. It is a place where somebody who has done something wrong, rightly or wrongly, you have to give an account before the judge and defend yourself, explain, judgment time. And so it was a term that was used very commonly in those days, simply describing a place of judgment for everybody, everyone who lived in that city. It is simply a place of judgment for both believers and unbelievers. So you have Hebrews 9:27 describing the manner of judgment, all men without exception. And then you have passages like Romans 14:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:10, where you have the judgment seat of Christ. Let me read to you these two verses. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All means everyone. Of course, Paul was including believers as well. We are not excluding believers, but we have a problem where it is believers only. Because the meaning of the phrase judgment seat, where Christ will judge. Christ is still, is he not the judge of unbelievers? Of course he is. As Revelation 20:11 tells us, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Now, who is the one who's sitting on this throne? It is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the one who is seated at the throne. And so at the great white throne judgment, who will be the judge? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. So my proposition to you is simply this. If you look at 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now bear this in mind. Everyone, it means everyone, good or bad, in this body, how he lived his life on this earth. Now my proposition to you is this. Hebrews 9:27 describe all men will be judged after they die. 2 Corinthians 5:10 together with Romans 14:10 describe the place and who will judge. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the place is called the judgment seat. Now what is the name of this place? Now my proposition to you is the name of this place is called Great White Throne. That means when people are raptured, judgment will not begin. Judgment will only begin at the end of this world. After every human being standing before God in their eternal body. Because at the end, everyone will be eternal. Those who are in hell will be resurrected. The Bible describes it as the second resurrection. And everyone standing before God at the great white throne, there will be no one who will be in mortal flesh. Everyone will be in their immortal body. The believers will be there. The unbelievers will also be there, but everyone immortal. So, Bema seat judgment of Christ is the place. Hebrews 9:27 describe who will be judged. Everyone without exception. Name of the place where the judgment will be held. Here. Great white throne. So my proposition to you is the Bema judgment seat of Christ has a name, and that name is called the great white throne. Judgment. That means it will not be a continuous judgment. It will be a once for all judgment where everybody will stand before God in their eternal being, and they will have to give an account of how they have lived their lives when they were in mortal flesh on the earth. That's the great white throne judgment. Because by this time, both parties, unbelievers sent to the lake of fire for eternity, no escape. Believers, welcome to the new heaven and the new earth, where there'll be no more death, no more interruption, no more Satan, no more sin, no more evil, no more stain by sin as well. Everything will be brand new, fresh, and perfect. That's my proposition to you regarding the chronology of the Great White Throne Judgment in relation to the Bema Seat of Christ, the Judgment Seat of Christ, that they are one and the same. And it takes place at this point. Now let's look at the judgment in detail. That means, if this proposition is correct, then we have to interpret verse 12 in light of what has been proposed. That means verse 12 is a description of the judgment of believers in the glorified body. And I saw the dead. This referred to all the believers who have died. That means there's no more living believers, like the sheep and the goats. The sheep and the goats are made up of living believers. These will be believers who are all in their glorified body. Immortal, incorruptible, spiritual, glorious, powerful, as 1 Corinthians 15 described. But they will still be judged. Small and great, everyone stand before God, accepted. And the books were opened, and another similar kind, because this is another of the similar kind, was opened, which is called the Book of Life. Now, one is plural, the other one is singular. Now, I do not believe that there is an actual book, but in those days, that's what the people normally believe. And so I believe that this is more like a figure of speech. And the plurality of the books would be the Book of Life pertaining to our salvation. The other one will be the books where God will record our works. Because for believers, it will be a judgment of reward, where you will already have your names in the Book of Life, and then you will be now judged according to how you have served the Lord during the number of years He has given to you on this earth, from the day you were born again in Christ Jesus until the day where He calls you home. How have you been serving the Lord? Which is the Book of Life, and the dead were judged out of those books which were written in the books according to their works. We are also judged according to their works, but our judgment according to works based upon reward. Now you look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to verse 15, where God will describe to us the judgment of believers based upon their works, their life of service after salvation. That is why we understand from the Bible that the moment a person is born again in Christ Jesus, he is already fit for heaven. But God allows him to remain on earth for service, so that his life will count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. That is the Apostle Paul describing how he was the one who brought the gospel message to the people in Corinth, and many of them became believers, and they founded the church in Corinth. And so he considered himself as the one who laid the foundation by giving the gospel message. And then other teachers came to build up the faith of the believers in the church. And other builded thereon, but let every man take heed how he built thereupon. All right, now you watch. For other foundation can no man lay, only one foundation, and that foundation that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That means everyone who is now going to be evaluated as described in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 onwards, must be born again in Christ Jesus. He's already a believer. God is not going to evaluate your good works concerning salvation, because your good works is not good enough to bring you into the kingdom of heaven. But once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sin, who rose again on the third day for your justification simply by faith, with all your heart, you confess your sin, acknowledging to God that you have sinned against God and you deserve hell and death. and plead with God for mercy to cleanse you from all your sins, to forgive you of all your sins. And thank God that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin and you accept Him as your Lord and as your Savior from your heart. This is what Paul meant when he said that you have already laid this foundation which is in Jesus Christ, referring to your being born again. And then after you are born again, now you have a life of service while you remain on this earth from the day of your salvation to the day when the Lord calls you home. The day you die, in other words. Then God says, if any man build, verse 12, upon this foundation, that is Jesus Christ, after he's born again, gold, silver, precious stones, that means the works that are done are constrained by the love of Christ for the glory of God, not for self-glory, not for self-interest, not for personal gain, because works that are done in your lifetime that are ranked under wood, hay, and stubble, that will be the works that are done for personal glory, personal gain, for the accolades of men, not for the glory of God. Every man's work, every believer, man's work shall be made manifest, that is made clear by God, tested, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, that means made of gold, silver, precious stone, fire will never be able to destroy them. He shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, that means wood, hay, and stubble, the moment it touches fire, consumed by the fire, he shall suffer loss. He has no service, no reward, because he did not live a life glorifying to God. He wasted his life of service, serving himself instead of God. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. By the skin of his skin, he's still born again. He will not lose his salvation if he's truly born again. So this is how God will judge the dead whose names are written in the book of life in verse 12. They will be born again, but they will be judged according to their works with reference to reward. So verse 12 describes the judgment of believers. In other words, the great white throne judgment is a judgment of both believers and unbelievers at the end of time, before the new heaven and new earth begins, when everyone will now stand before God as believers in the glorified body, receiving the judgment of God by how we lived our lives while we were on this earth in our mortal flesh after salvation. Verse 13 to the end describes the judgment of unbelievers. Now watch. And the sea gave up the dead. You see, the dead mentioned in verse 13 cannot be the same as the dead mentioned in verse 12. Because all those who died are already in hell. This group of dead in verse 12, they are already standing before God, and this will have to be the resurrected believers, the glorified believers. But this second group of the dead, watch, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead. You see, this second group of the dead in verse 13 onwards, they are the group of the dead that were still in hell. And God said during the great white throne judgment, hell will be emptied. That means every unbeliever who died in their sin, having spent their time in hell, will be delivered from hell, and they will now stand before God in their resurrected body. What kind of resurrected body, we do not know. But they will be given another kind of body that will be eternal. There is no such thing as annihilation. It is another kind of body. And the dead which were in them, and they will judge every man according to their works. Now you and I know that for the unbelievers, they cannot work good works to gain access into heaven. Because God says, all the righteousness of man are as filthy rags in his sight. You and I are already born sinner. Everything that you and I touch have been stained by our own sin. Even the good works are already stained by the sin of our hands. So therefore God says, your good works are short of God's glory. Your good works are not enough to earn you a place in heaven. So for the believers standing before God in the glorified body, they will be judged according to their works, but in terms of reward, because they're already cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, you have another group of the dead, but this group resurrected from hell. And then after that has taken place, God said, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Don't need for hell and death anymore. Because there are no more sinners on earth. There are no more human beings in this mortal flesh that will die. Because now everyone, every human being from the beginning of time to the end of time, at the great white throne judgment, there will be no more. There will be no more giving birth after this. Every human being that existed from the beginning of time until then, in the great white throne judgment, that's all there will be. Because in the new heaven and new earth, everyone who enters there will be in the glorified body. There will be no marrying. There will be no giving in marriage. So the last and final human being to be born during the millennium will be it. Because at the end of the millennium, the great white throne judgment will begin. And this is how God will judge all humanity. Everyone standing before God at the great white throne will be eternal. Eternal saints, eternal sinners. And the sinners will be resurrected from hell. And they will stand before God. And when they are judged according to their works, the Bible says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, those who are resurrected from hell, they will not find their names in the book of life, and they will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. And they will join Satan and his demons in the lake of fire, together with the Antichrist and the false prophet, as verse 10 of chapter 20 tells us they are already there. This is the great white throne judgment that the Bible has revealed to us. In other words, every human being made in the image of God, now because of Adam who sinned, we are now all born sinners. And your life on this earth is crucial, because now, while you are breathing in this mortal body, is the only time where you can make a difference before you die, whether you will end up in heaven or in hell, or in the lake of fire. The new heaven and new earth, or the lake of fire. Now is the only time. Don't delay. All you need to do is to make sure of your salvation. And you can make sure of your salvation, because Jesus promised us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, rose again from the dead for your justification. He died for your sin. That's all you need. This is God's grace. This is God's gift to you. That's all you need. And you do not need to spend 1 second in hell, because no human being will escape God's judgment. Does not matter who you are, whether you are a king or a prince. It does not matter whether you are the president or the prime minister. God is no respecter of person. He is the creator. Whatever title you have, it's all given by man. God has no respect for any mankind. Unless you are born again in Christ, you will end up in hell. And then finally, at the end of the millennium, at the great white throne judgment, you will be called out of hell and you will stand before God, and God will look at your works and fall short of God's glory, lake of fire. That is what is in store. As far as God is concerned, there are only two kinds of people on this earth. Believers, what awaits you is the new heaven and new earth. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't live a life of sin. Don't live a life of debauchery. Live a life that will bring glory to God and will bring many sinners into God's kingdom by your life of holiness, by your life of living testimony of the great work of salvation that God has wrought in your heart. Live a life of holiness and tell them about Christ. Don't live a life of sin. No more. How could you? None of us should have any wood, hay, and stubble to the best of our ability. No way you and I could avoid wood, hay, and stubble. Because in this life, we are not perfect. There will be moments in our lives that what we do will be for some selfish, ulterior motive. And they will be destroyed by God. But let it not be a life without works that will be ranked under gold, silver, precious stone. Because as children of God, we can. We can have a life of service that is pleasing to God. But God will still evaluate our life. Not that you and I will escape. It will be a different kind of judgment, no escape of judgment at all. Not for anyone, even for believers. And God will begin with believers, as God says. Judgment will begin with believers. And that's exactly what we find in the Great White Throne Judgment. It will begin with believers. And if believers will be judged, unbelievers better fear. If God will judge His own children, how much more will God judge unbelievers? You don't have to remain in a state of unbelief, dear friends. All you need to do is to confess your sins and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior, because He came from heaven to die on the cross for you. And God accepted what He has done for you by raising Him from the dead to tell you that God has defeated death for you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All you need to do is to receive Him into your heart. You don't have to be afraid of death. Death is a defeated enemy only through Jesus Christ. This great white throne judgment awaits everyone. The question is, which group do you belong to? This is the judgment for every one of us in the resurrected body. There is no annihilation. It's either new heaven and new earth, which is a wonderful, wonderful, eternal place in the presence of God, or the lake of fire. God does not want to see anyone end up in the lake of fire. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and you will be saved to the uttermost. We all will have to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. No escape. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, as we look into Holy Scriptures that Thou hast revealed to us into the very distant future. By the eyes of faith, may Your people see the reality of the great white throne judgment, that we may live a life of holiness in the present. Or else, how can we as Your children stand before Thee accepted, O Lord? May we truly live a life of faith, live a life of holiness, where others, when they see us and see our good works, they will see Christ and glorify our Father who art in heaven by becoming believers themselves. We pray for some in our midst, O Lord, who are outside Christ. Put the fear of God in their hearts, which is the beginning of wisdom, that they will turn to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and accept Him as their Lord and as their Savior, so that on the day of the great white throne judgment, they will not be judged as unbelievers, but that they will be judged as children of the Most High God, as judgment for rewards, rather than judgment of condemnation. Be merciful to hear our cry, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Hear us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.